both sides were silenced for the first time. They saw someone who has seen it, who has been there, who experienced it firsthand. So our forefathers saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus of Egypt. They saw Sinai, they saw the revelation at Sinai. For 40 years they perceived godliness firsthand. They lived in an environment where the godly reality was manifestly present in the most conspicuous way possible. They have been in that world, a world where spirituality, where godliness was as real, as tangible, maybe even more tangible than the physical reality that we inhabit. But in subsequent generations, that was concealed from us. That evident presence of the Shekhinah was concealed. We were, so to speak, lowered into a cave. A cave where the previous spiritual realities are totally non-seen. But the second generation heard about it from its parents. The third generation heard about it from their Zaydas. The fourth generation heard about it from their Zaydas, who have heard it from the people that were there. And they lived with it. They embraced it. It was part of their system. And generations continued. And these generations were sustained by this belief, by this faith that they had in all these earlier generations concerning this reality. And this went on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Ad shenoylad chacham echad, till one wise Jew arose and says, no. So they said it. It's a nice, beautiful faith, but ultimately it's fantasy. Aye, they turned to him. There's bread and water falling down every day. Who created this world where a sun rises and a sun sets, where the human body functions in such an extraordinary fashion, whatever it may be? No. It's a freak of nature. Mother Nature produces this. Whatever the explanations were given. And began implanting doubts. They said, yes, this was a fantasy, and God is an important theory. As someone once said, even if he doesn't exist, human beings should have created that theory. It's a theory. Something, you know, people have to rely on something, and so on and so forth. But ultimately, who can prove that it's real? Have you seen it? No. Has your Zayda seen it? No. Zayda claims that thousands of years ago there was a Maisa with Matan Torah. And the world divides into two parts. We have the believers, the blind believers, so to speak, and the intellectuals. Until one day the human being, a human being, falls in from the other world. That is the neshama. That is what the neshama is. The neshama of the Jew in its deepest place doesn't know Hashem through philosophy. She knows Him because she sees Him. She experiences His reality firsthand. That is what Emunah is. A Jew has a place, a part in him, which experiences Hashem, which was in that world where the sun rises and the sun sets in the morning and the evening. Which is not a product, which is in that world, which is not a product of the pit philosophizing about another reality. Which comes from that world and was transported into the physical body. Chachma Shebenefesh is a space, and in that space Hashem is shayda and is experienced, and from this comes the awareness of the Jew, the real awareness and the commitment of the Jew to Hashem. In one of his other discourses, the Alter Rebbe explains that this is one of the primary differences between the faith of the Jew, for example, and the faith of the non-Jew. Throughout history, many, many non-Jews have come to the conclusion that there's a God. Various phenomena occurring in our universe can be brought as a proof to determine that there is a creator to this world, and there's even a controller of the world. In fact, Torah has always claimed that one who approaches reality with a seichel hayasher, with an unbiased objective mind, will come to the logical conclusion that there's a creator. Today's day and age, we know the more science, physics develops, the closer we come to realize, through the mediums of science and physics, and precisely the tools of creation itself, not tools beyond creation, the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of a single unit, undefined force, which brought it all into being, and leads it and controls it and so forth. So you can bring proofs for the existence of Hashem. Is that a Muna? You can come to a real conclusion, and it's a real powerful conclusion. That's called determining the reality of Hashem based on Seichel, based on your Kayach Habina, based on your faculty of understanding. But what that essentially means is as follows. He is not here. Hashem is not present. His reality is proven and demonstrated via specific data. We do not experience Him, we talk about Him. We determine His presence. What is experienced is me, my mind, my ego, my intellectual ego. My intellectual ego determines that there is a God. What is experienced is the assertion of my identity, my mind, my seichel. That seichel comes to realize that there is a reality of godliness or spirituality. Because that is a Bina experience. And in Bina, the eye of the mind is present. And that eye deduces from various phenomena that there exists a creator to our universe. So what's happening is, the mind is what is experienced. The eye is what is felt. So this is seichel. This eye deduces certain facts about the universe. One of them is that there is a creator. So you might find yourself, for example, in a pitch dark room. Through various intellectual architectural calculations, you might come to the conclusion that this room must have three windows. Although you don't see it. The windows are not revealed. The windows are totally concealed. They are not perceived by you. You are in darkness. And the windows are in darkness. Talking about it, but you understand. I'm sorry, but you understand that it exists. Talking about an experience, explaining an experience, is not the experience. I said last week, the map is never to be confused with the territory. Emunah is something totally different. He, Hashem, projects Himself within the soul of the Jew. He reveals Himself within the identity of the Jew. And the reason for that is because all of the other methods through which we discern Him do not allow for Him to dwell within them, for Him to reveal Himself within them. Because all of the other tools that we use are seicheldike tools, are defined tools. Emunah is experiencing Him through Him revealing Himself, because it's experiencing Him through the empty space in our souls, which transcends our identity, suspends our egos, the place where we do not exist rather than we do exist, by negation rather than by assertion. So Hashem reveals His all-pervading, all-embracing reality within the Jew's soul. And as a result of that, the dynamic of Emunah occurs. As a result of that, the Jew experiences Hashem. It's like he sees it. It's not a skill which allows him to experience it in a lesser way than the mind. It's like seeing it. It's like the soul sees godliness. The soul experiences God's reality firsthand. So that creates an awareness, and an awareness which has a certainty that's far deeper than the certainty which comes through Seichel. Why? Because even when you come to conclude something based on Seichel, the very fact that it was an intellectual process diminishes its absolute certainty, because it's something that lends itself to questions, to refutation, to answers, to proofs, and so forth. So even if your conclusion is that it is, does exist, the very relationship to that reality is in the realm of intellect, and therefore is defined by yes and no. And tomorrow it can be refuted, even if it's not refuted. The awareness is such a type of an awareness which lends itself to questions, which lends itself to refutation. The awareness that comes through seeing something. If you're standing in a room and you see that someone is standing there, and then a person comes to you and explains to you brilliantly how it was impossible that someone should walk into the room. It's impossible that you saw someone. Why? Because the doors were locked. And this person was in China that day. And so forth. So unless a person is hallucinating, we're not talking about that. If he's healthy, if his senses are healthy, I have seen it. But it's impossible. Logically, it's impossible. You're right, but I saw the man there. Seeing transcend. The certainty of seeing is beyond everything. Emuna is the Jew sees Hashem. That place in the neshama sees Hashem. And therefore the awareness is totally of another awareness. To the extent, we have to understand what Emunah is. The Rebbe once expressed himself in the Maimer, in the Hasidic discourse. Emunah is Azam and Zach, was Akasha macht es nicht schwache, und Atedetz macht es nicht starke. Emunah is of such a nature that it's not weakened by a question, and it's not enforced through an answer, by an answer. Apparently, a Jew believes in Hashem, and you have someone comes to him and disproves his emunah, it weakens it. And when someone comes to the Jew and explains to him logically how the Creator exists, the emunah is enhanced. That's because we weren't in touch with what emunah is initially. What we call emunah is usually seichel, or is usually just laziness. Why shouldn't I believe it? It works for me. My father told me my Baba used to believe in it, and it works for me. It's not too difficult. So I believe. You believe? You believe? So certainly if there's a question, it's uncomfortable. And if there's an answer, it becomes comfortable. It's not that. Emunah is a skill in its own right, which when cultivated, allows us to experience the ultimate. Now tell me for a moment. Who's closer to whom? The group in the pit that believed in the tradition of another world. Are they closer, ultimately, to the person who fell in from the other world? Or are they closer in their opinion to the people who denied the other world? What do you think? Huh? Atazay. They're closer to the people who didn't believe. True, their conclusions are identical to the man who fell in. But the experience is the same. They have the same type of experience. They both experience the pit reality themselves. This one came to the conclusion that there is another world. This one came to the conclusion that there is not another world. But what is experienced? What is felt? What is felt is the pit. The darkness of the pit. Coming to the conclusion that Hashem exists through intellectual data is ultimately being a product of the pit reality. The ego is what's manifested. The ego is what's asserted. The intellectual ego. We're not talking about a subjective, emotional, unhealthy ego. But intellectual ego. The presence of man. The pit reality. And in a pit, another world can dwell. Leis machshavat v'zabeklah. That pit. Being in the pit, you come to deduce that there is another world. Whatever the mechanisms are. And whatever the conclusions are. Emunah, the Alter Rebbe says, is something else. V'lachein kol Yisrael ma'minim b'Hashem, because in Chachma Shebenefesh is Shede Ein Sof Baruch. The neshama comes from a world where it sees it, where it experiences it, where Hashem reveals Himself. That is what is expressed. That is what is overwhelmed. In Bina, the concept is not there. You're there. In Chachma, the concept is there. When we talk about godliness and Bina, you're there. You deduce that there's an existence of the Creator. In Chachma, He dwells, He expresses Himself. And therefore, the certainty of the issue is totally, totally of a different nature. And as we shall soon see, Alter Rebbe continues and concludes this Pedik, that this is the source of the mystery that has astonished historians and has astonished every normal thinking person, astonishes even us, concerning the commitment of the Jew to Hashem. A commitment which surpasses all logical explanations. A commitment which encompassed throughout history all types of Jews. Not only the rabbis, the scholars, the Kabbalists, and the mystics. Men, women, children, sinners, light-headed Jews, ignoramuses, insensitive Jews, Pesha Yisrael as they were defined. And throughout history, in the midst of unspeakable pain, horrendous torture, and circumstances that would have crushed any normal human being, have clung to their God. This mystery, the Alter Rebbe explains, as being the direct result of this experience of Chachma Shebe Nefesh. The Jew doesn't philosophize about God. He experiences Him. Have a wonderful week. It's inherent. Love after all, if you reveal it, it can come to it. In the Sefer Gvuras Hashem of the Maharal of Prague, in the 9th chapter, Gvuras Hashem is a book that the Maharal wrote dedicated to the theme of Golus and Geulas Mitzrayim, the Egyptian exile and the exodus of Egypt. And in the 9th chapter of Gvuras Hashem, the Maharal gives us a definition for Emuna. Listen to his words. Zog the Maharal. Ki ya'odom ha'yedeya davar ba'asagasa yo bi'idiyasei Hayidia Zeis Hiyidias Ha Adam. Umishahu Maimin Bay Yuzbarach, Zeshahu Mitzad Hashem Yuzbarach Hashem Maimin Bay. Vuhunim Shechei Lav Lagamri, Omepnekach Bevada Egadol Madrigase. The Maral Zakhtaze, a human being who knows something as a result of his comprehension and knowledge, so this knowledge is to be attributed to the person. This is defined as Yediyas HaAdam. The human being knows this concept or this truth. However, somebody who has Emunah in Hashem, who has faith in Hashem, this faith is to be attributed to Hashem, not to the human being. This is Mitzad Hashem Yizbarach. And thus the Maharal says, Hu Nimshech Elav Legamri, the human being becomes absolutely attached and connected to Hashem, and therefore it's certain that his level is greater than that of the Jew who knows Hashem. And this is how the Maral explains the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says in Shabbos of Kof Yitesam at Beis that Gadla Eina Amen Yosem and Amavarech. The man who answers Amen on a blessing is transcends the man who makes the bracha. Apparently, that requires clarification. How can you make sense out of that? The whole reason why I'm saying Amen is because you've made a bracha. So my Amen is nothing but a continuum and a consequence of your bracha. And nonetheless, we say that the person who answers Amen is greater than the person who made the bracha. And for the Maharal, Sharei HaMevarech, Shehu Mevarech Davar Zeh, is Mitzad Yediyas HaAdam Sha'amar Kach V'Kach. Uma Allah say Zeis Eine Kol Kach Kamei Misha Eina Amen, Ki Yemuni Mitzad Hashem Yizbarech Lai Mitzad Aite. A bracha, zog de Maral, comes from a person's yidia, from a person's understanding, from a person's appreciation. He's making a bracha because he observed and he understood and he discerned a certain truth, and thus he's making a bracha. The person who's saying Amen, Amen comes from the word Amunah. The etymology of Amen is Amunah, faith. He doesn't understand the message necessarily, but he has faith. He's acknowledging with Amunah that which the person said in the bracha. And thus, he is greater than the person who said the bracha. And this is how the Maharal explains what the Medrash says in Shmai Sraba Parshach of Beis, that Kol Misha Isa Mitzvah Achaz Be'emunah Roi Shetishra Lav Ruach HaKadosh. A human being who performs even one mitzvah with emunah is worthy that the divine presence should rest upon him. Zog de Maharal, Ki Kasher Roi Isa Mitzvah Mitzad HaYidiyah, when you do a mitzvah with yidia, with knowledge, with understanding, then it's attributed to your character, to your comprehension, to your knowledge, and there's no element of Ruach HaKodesh, of the divine presence. But when you do a mitzvah with a munah, this is coming because of Hashem. That is the source of the munah. And therefore, on this person is worthy that it should, that the Ruach HaKodesh, that the divine presence, Hashem's energy, Hashem's spirit should rest upon him. These are the words of the Maharal. Now everybody knows that very often the terminology and the themes discussed in Maharal are difficult to understand. What is the meaning of this Maharal? But I believe that this is the kernel of the message
the Alter Rebbe is communicating to us here at the conclusion of chapter 18, and which we will further elaborate in chapter 19, and he discusses in various Hasidic discourses of throughout the years. But to understand this well, let's take a summarize and explain step by step what the Alter Rebbe taught us here, because it could become confusing. There are a lot of details. The first thing the Alter Rebbe said was that Chachma is l'mayla me'avon of Asaga. The kayach of Chachma transcends understanding, transcends intellect. That's point A. Point B, the Alter Rebbe said, due to this quality of Chachma, therefore, v'lachein mislabish ba'erin sav baruchu, the last machshavet v'se beklal. That's why the energy of the Ein Sof dwells, pervades, nests in Chachma, because Hashem also transcends Seichel, also transcends Das. Leis machshava tvisa beklal. No thought, no seichel can grasp Hashem, and thus the only appropriate container for Eir Ein Sof is what? Is that which is l'mayla me'aseichel, which is Chachma, because Eir Ein Sof is l'mayla me'aseichel, and Chachma is l'mayla me'aseichel. That was point B. Point C, the Alter Rebbe said, due to this, v'lachein kol Yisrael e'maminim b'Hashem. As a consequence of the above-mentioned truisms, all Yidden believe in Hashem. They have the status of ma'aminim b'Hashem. Why? Because emun is also higher than seichel. Which means, when you say that somebody believes in something, he is not creating a relationship with that truth via his intellectual faculties. As the Alter Rebbe said, pesiyam l'chol davar. On the contrary, who believes things? A fool. A fool doesn't have the intellectual faculties through which to comprehend. So he's not using his seichel to acquire, to create, to mold a relationship with a certain truth. If not, he wouldn't be called a pesi. Arum yavin davar l'ashurim. Pesi yam l'chol davar. That's why we say that all yidn amaminim b'Hashem. Because since Yidden have within them a koyach ha-chachma, and in chachma is shodeining sof baruch hu, so all Yidden believe in Hashem, they have an emun in Hashem, an emun that transcends seichel, which means a relationship with the truth of Hashem. That's not acquired through seichel, it's rather acquired through a faculty in them, which is l'maylam in ha-seichel, which is the concept of chachma. That's what Alter Rebbe said. With all the other details we discussed before, we're not going to get into it. By the way, it's interesting. The Tzemach Tzedek here on Tanya, didn't want to get into it before, it brings Medrash and Shmais Rabbah, brings the Pasuk, Pesi Yam L'chol Davar, you know what the Medrash says? Pesi Yam L'chol Davar Zem Moshe Rabbeinu. Taka, as the Medrash explains, it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginnings, in the early stages of his prophecy, prior to his becoming a full developed Navi, to the degree that Moshe Rabbeinu achieved. But nonetheless, the very fact that even in the early stages, the Medrash defines Moshe Rabbeinu as being the personification of Pesi Yam L'chol Davar. What does it mean? How do you explain the Medrash? But according to this chapter in Tanya, we understand the Medrash beautifully, crystal clear. Pesi Yam L'chol Davar Zem Moshe Rabbeinu. Because l'gabi Hashem, a Pesi is a beautiful quality, not a derogatory quality. V'ani bar v'lo yeide behemim sayisimach, therefore ani tamidimach. And who experienced the self-nullification of Chachma, the self-nullification of an intellectual ego more than Moshe Rabbeinu? In Kabbalah and Chassidus is discussed that Moshe Rabbeinu embodied the energy of Chachma. So who is the quintessential Pesi Yam L'chol Davar in the positive sense? Moshe Rabbeinu. Here Pesi is an advantage. So the awareness that Hashem exists is not created in the life of the Jew as a result of his seicheldika faculties. No. It's created in the Jew as a result of his chachma faculty, of his lamailam in a seicheldika faculty, of his bittul. That's where the awareness comes from. Not because he's threatened by Seichel. Not because Seichel is a bad thing. Not because he has to run away from Seichel. He doesn't need Seichel. Seichel is not the tool through which he can grasp this truth. Just as I'm not going to tell a guest who comes visiting my home, I'll tell him, listen, I'm going now to put on a CD with beautiful music, so go put on your glasses. To listen to the CD with this exquisite music, he doesn't have to put on his glasses. So the same is true concerning our issue. Seichel doesn't add anything. Seichel is not the tool through which you grasp the truth of Hashem. Chachma is the tool through which you grasp the truth of Hashem. So this is what Alter Rebbe said, right? This is what Alter Rebbe said. Clear. But now we have to take this a step further. The Alter Rebbe is not just saying that there are two distinct ways through which a human being can grasp and become aware of a truth. One way is through seichel. You understand a certain truth, and thus you become intellectually aware of this truth. And another way you can become aware of truth is it's not through seichel, through emunah, through faith. What does faith mean, as he explained? In chachma, there's bittul, and therefore, chachma is l'maylam in haseichel, and therefore Hashem dwells there, and therefore the Jew who has chachma within him experiences the truth of Hashem via the faculty of chachma. So one way of grasping a truth is through seichel, and another way of grasping a truth is through emunah. We see clearly from this chapter in Tanya that we're not only dealing with a difference of how you grasp the same truth, but the grasping is of a different nature. The fashion through which I grasp a truth through seichel can totally not be compared to the way I grasp a truth through emunah. It's not just, here you grasp a truth through your eyes, and here you grasp a truth through your ears. The reality of music, you process via your ears. The reality of art, you process via your eyes. So some realities you process via seichel, some realities you process via emunah. It's also a difference in how you grasp it. The way it's grasped through seichel is not the same as it's grasped through emunah. What's pshat? What's the difference? So this is the next issue we discussed. And basically, it's the difference between Chachma and Bina, which we discussed last week and I mentioned earlier briefly. There are two ways in which you can experience a relationship with something outside of you. One is you understand it, and a second is that you experience it. And what is the difference? The difference is obvious. In the first case, where I understand it, there's an I. And I understand this truism. I have, I grasp, I contain, I comprehend. I discern this truism. In the second case where I experience it, I don't have it, it has me. In the first case, what is experienced? I is experienced. And I understand this truth. Experiencing a truth, not understanding a truth. Experiencing a truth means I get lost in the truth. The truth is revealed. The truth takes me over. And this is a much higher form of it's a much deeper relationship. It's a much higher relationship. It's explained that this is the difference between seeing and listening. Taka, between the ears and the eyes. Between E and Shmiya. Or actually between seeing and understanding. When I understand something, there's the I, and I'm present, and I understand this truth. I discern this truth. This truth is concealed. It's not present. It's not manifested. It's not conspicuous. I am conspicuous. And through my identity and my tools, I am coming to the conclusion that there's a certain truth that exists somewhere. When I see something, when I behold something through my eyes, through my physical eyes, whether it's a piece of art, whether it's a traumatic event, heaven forbid, whatever it is, when I see it, the presence of the thing is glaring. The presence of the thing is revealed, is conspicuous, it's present. It has me. It's not that I have it. It has me. It captivates me. It fills me. In Havana and Shmiya, the truth is a din in me, is a gather in me. In Re'iyah, I am a din in the thing. I am a gather in the truth. It's all other art. And that's why the certainty, here we come to another issue, the certainty, the absoluteness that is acquired via seeing something is far deeper and far greater than the absoluteness and the certainty that's acquired when you understand a certain truth. Like I explained earlier, that even when you understand that something is true, and you really and you understand that it's taka true, it doesn't have the same absoluteness because it lends itself to be refuted, even if it's not refuted. The truth is a truth that is experienced in the realm of yes and no, of refutation. So it's not absolute. By definition, it's not absolute. It's a truth that's experienced in a very limited way. It can be refuted tomorrow, even if it's not refuted tomorrow. But the fact that there's a potential that it should be refuted tomorrow means that even when I know it today, it doesn't have that absoluteness to it. When you see something, it's absolute. It cannot be refuted. What's the reason for this? The Gemara discusses in Rosh Hashanah the reason that Ein Eid Nasa Dayan, the witness of a crime, should not be the judge of a crime. Because since he observed it, it has totally another impact on him. Given the Chazil Le'matzel Le'migmele Schusa, it's going to be very hard to find a redeeming factor for the criminal versus the judge who only hears about the event, hasn't seen it. Seeing has a very profound impact on the person. The certainty, the absoluteness is much more powerful. What's the reason for this? Stalter Rebbe explains in other discourses, this is the reason. When I understand the truth is concealed. I am conspicuous. And therefore, as much as I understand it, it's not certain, it's not absolute. Because it was never really present. When I see something, it has me. The it is present. I become lost in the it. And therefore, the certainties are totally of another level. This is what the Maharal is saying. When I know that Hashem exists, of course you can know that Hashem exists. Through Seichel, you can come to figure out that Hashem exists. So what does the Alter Rebbe mean? That the only place where Hashem dwells is in Chachma? Well, Bina can't figure out that Hashem exists. That's what you asked before, yeah? On the contrary, how does the Rambam begin Yad HaChazak? Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. Yesod is Amud HaChachmas. Leida She'yesh HaBatzirish. The foundation of foundations and the pillar of wisdom is to know that there is a primal cause. First being, v'hu mamtzi kol nimtza, who brought into existence everything that exists. V'chol nimtzayim ha-shamayim v'arad z'masha b'neim le'nimtzu elam amitis imotze. And the Rambam continues a few halachas later, v'yidi as davar zeh mitzvah sase. Knowing this, knowing, doesn't say amunah, is a mitzvah. So, what Bina can't grasp Hashem? Of course, that's not what Alter Rebbe is saying. V'lachein mislabish ba'ein sof. Of course, you could know Hashem through Bina, but that's knowing that Hashem exists. Chachma doesn't know that Hashem exists. Chachma experiences Hashem. Seichel will direct the arrows towards him. But Seichel cannot grasp him. Leis makshav tfisabe. Seichel cannot become a container where he should become present. As I said before, Seichel can take you till the door, till the entrance, but Seichel cannot pass. Seichel cannot take you into the realm of divinity. The awareness that a Yid has in Hashem that we call him Munah is not a seicheldik awareness. It transcends a seicheldik awareness. He experiences Hashem. Hashem is present in his life. It's like the neshama sees Hashem, like I mentioned earlier. See, that's what the Maharal is saying. Of course you could know Hashem, but the idea that you know Hashem is mitzad ha'adam. You know! Hashem is not here. Hashem is concealed. You know, the eye is present. Emunah is mitzad Hashem is baruch. Hashem is present in your life. Hashem is revealed. Hashem is facing you face to face. Looking you in your eyes and saying, I am here. Here is, you sense His presence. That's what Emunah is. And that's only because there's Chachmah. Because Chachmah is a place in you that's L'mayla Menaseichel. And in that place, Hashem is present, ever present. And due to that presence, you experience Him. And this is extremely relevant to what Alter Rebbe will discuss later. We'll discuss it in the next of the following weeks. That the quintessential, the core identity of the Jewish soul is God. Is Hashem, not the I. So again, in summation, we have here a few points, step by step. Point A, Chachma transcends Havana. Point B, because of that, Eirin Sav dwells and is present within Chachma. Point C, since this is true about Chachma, and every Yid has Chachma, so every Yid has Emunah in Hashem. What do we mean by Emunah? Emunah is something that's beyond Seichel. So why do we say that every Yid has Emunah? Because every Yid has Chachma. And through Chachma, he experiences Hashem's reality. And that's an experience that transcends Seichel. And that's why we call it Emunah. Point D. It's not just a different avenue through which the Jew experiences Hashem. Not through Seichel, but through a faculty that's beyond Seichel. So it's not just the same validity through a different avenue. No, the way he grasps it through Emunah is totally different of how he would grasp it through Seichel. Through Seichel, the truth is concealed. By Emunah, when you grasp something through Emunah, in the real sense of what Emunah means, the thing is revealed, it's present. Not you have it, it has you. And the consequence of that is point E, that the certainty that a Yid has, that Hashem exists because of Emunah, transcends infinitely the certainty that any human being can have by understanding through his intellectual faculties that there is a God in the universe. You cannot compare the certainty. And then there's another point, point F. This is discussed in other discourses of the Alter Rebbe and the Chabad literature at length. That this also results in another difference, but that's not relevant here, I'll just mention it. Pari says, lo yadaiti es havaya. So, chassidus alakim, he knew not havaya. In Hashem, so to speak, in the godly energy, there are two elements. There's what we call the cosmic godliness and the transcendental godliness. Cosmic godliness is those elements of the godly energy that are manifested within the parameters of the universe, and thus, which reality can be accessed and somewhat comprehended through the human mind. As mentioned, a human, objective human mind can come to the conclusion, and by studying the various data of the universe, can come to a conclusion that there's a God. The universe and intellect testifies to the reality of a God. But the transcendental energy of God totally transcends human data, totally transcends human intellect. When you come to the conclusion that God exists via your seichel, you can only gain knowledge and awareness into Shema Lekim, which denotes the cosmic energy of godliness. But lo yadaiti es havaya, those elements of Hashem, He transcends the universe and transcends intellect, you can't know anything about that reality, because Seichel doesn't testify to that reality. Seichel doesn't bespeak that reality. Seichel doesn't prove that reality. And the whole way of how you are finding out that God exists is via your Seichel. But when your awareness of Hashem's existence is because of Emunah, as the Maharal put it so beautifully, mitzad Hashem yizbarach, because Hashem comes into your life, Hashem becomes present in your soul. There's a space in the soul of the Jew in which Hashem dwells in a revealed way. It might be concealed from our conscience, but it's there. There's a place in your soul where Hashem dwells in a revealed way. So then Hashem dwells there in all of His intensity, in all of His essence as He is. And thus you have an awareness not just in Shema Lekim, but also in Shema Vayah. That's the point.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.